The following study is a Saturday night message given by Tad Slaughter at Athey Creek Christian Fellowship.
If you want, you guys can grab your Bibles and turn to Deuteronomy chapter 12. Brett is with the 500 people or so that are at family camp this weekend. So we're going to take a little break from our normal studies and jump into Deuteronomy a little bit. Actually, I'll be honest with you, we're going to read a chunk of Deuteronomy, but we're only going to think about or really look at a very small part of it. So Deuteronomy chapter 12, and we'll start in verse 1. These are the decrees and the laws that you must be careful to follow in the land the Lord your God, or that the Lord, the God of your fathers, has given to you to possess as long as you live in the land. Destroy completely all the places on the high mountains and on the hills and under every spreading tree where the nations you are dispossessing worship their gods. Break down their altars, smash their sacred stones, and burn their asherah poles in the fire. Cut down the idols of their gods and wipe out their names from those places. You must not worship the Lord your God in their way, but you are to seek the place the Lord your God will choose from among all the tribes to put his name there for his dwelling. And to that place you must go. There, bring your burnt offerings and sacrifices, your tithes and special gifts, what you have vowed to give, and your freewill offerings. And the firstborn of your herds and flocks, there in the presence of the Lord your God and your families, you and your families shall eat and rejoice in everything you have put your hand to, because the Lord your God has blessed you. Now let's skip down a few verses, and I'll just pick up, oh, let's say, again in verse 11, and it says, then to the place of the Lord your God will choose as a dwelling for his name, there you are to bring everything I command you, your burnt offerings and sacrifices, your tithes and special gifts, and all the choice possessions you have vowed to the Lord. And there rejoice before the Lord your God, your sons and your daughters, your men servants and maid servants, and the Levites from your towns who have no allotment or inheritance of their own. Then, if you want, we will skip down a few more verses. And it's another very similar passage, so we're just kind of cutting them shorter every time. And just look at verse 18. And this time it says, if I can find it. Instead, you are to eat them in the presence of the Lord your God at the place your God will choose, you and your sons and your daughters, your men servants and maid servants, and the Levites from your towns, and you are to rejoice before the Lord your God in everything you put your hand to. So the reason I wanted to read those passages tonight is because just recently I was reading them myself and was struck by the fact that the Lord is making a command of something that's kind of interesting to me, at least, and that is the Lord is saying, rejoice. You shall rejoice. Now, that's something, for me, I think maybe my way of thinking is a little bit slower probably than yours, but I've always thought of rejoicing as something I do when I feel like it. That I will rejoice when there's something to rejoice about. But that's not what the Lord is saying here. Well, he is in a sense, but in another way, he's also saying, you shall rejoice. Which means it's a command. It's something the Lord is saying, when you get to this new land that I'm going to be taking you to, and you wipe out all these other false places of worship, there's going to be one place to worship me as far as the temple goes. And the Lord says, when you're there and you're making your offerings and you're worshiping me, when you're around me, you shall rejoice. It's part of the deal. The Lord didn't say, I want you to come and be solemn. He said, I want you to rejoice. Now, I don't know about you guys. I know that I have been guilty of this as a father saying to my kids, we are doing this and you will enjoy it. Have you ever said that? I know we've had that over food before. You'll eat it and you will like it. My dad still tries to do that with me and fish. He's always saying, how can you not like fish? And I just don't like fish. It's kind of embarrassing because everybody I know, it seems, likes fish, but me. Well, now and a couple of my kids. They've inherited my faulty gene. But, you know, we're in Vanuatu and surrounded by all this great seafood, and I just don't like it. So I went fishing in Alaska a couple months ago and caught some halibut, and everybody's like, oh, halibut, it's so good. And I say, yeah, it's fish. Cat food, that's what it is to me. Now I've insulted a lot of you, I understand that. But anyway. But see, the Lord is saying here, you shall rejoice. And I can relate to that as a dad. You know, there's nothing like when you're a parent to have your kids around you and have them rejoicing. There's nothing like, for me as a husband, to have my wife nearby and have her rejoicing. A few years ago, well, actually quite a few years ago, we had a spring break trip to Mexico that on the way home got delayed. Now that is a dream come true for my wife, because every time we go on a trip, it doesn't matter if we're going to the store, the way home has to be longer than the way there, because there's always got to be something else to do besides get home. You always like that when you go on vacation, you go camping or whatever. Sometimes you just want to get home, that's me, but my wife always wants to delay the return. And so we were in L.A., and our plane in Mexico had gotten delayed because of a swarm of bees had gotten in the engine of the plane. So we got to L.A. late and missed our flight, and it was spring break week. So there was no flight for us that whole day or the next day, and we weren't even sure if there was going to be one the third day out. So when my wife heard that, she was rejoicing. We were in the airport, and this is if you know my wife Marna, she's not a shy person, but she is a bit reserved. But not then. We were in LAX, packed with people because of spring break and all sorts of people who were trying to get on flights. And you can imagine LAX at spring break. And she found out that we were going to have to spend a couple extra days in LA. And she started dancing. And I'm not going to do it. I was thinking about it, but I can't do it. But let me just put it this way. She was really getting into it. And it had something to do, like, her, you know, she was doing this. And just like, I won't go any farther than that. But you can imagine for yourself that she was a little bit, what I would say, out of control. And then I looked over at our kids, and normally I would think, oh, they're going to be so embarrassed right now. But they were laughing really hard. And then I looked back at my wife, and I saw why they were laughing. She had been, she was wearing a dark dress. I think it was like a black dress. And there were these flashes, and I'm going to tell you this is embarrassing, of yellow. What were the flashes of yellow? The dress had ripped. And she had a yellow undergarment that everybody was seeing. But it was great because she didn't care. She's like, I don't know anybody here. But it was so funny because, you know, the truth was she was letting it out. We were all bottling it up. We were excited. She knew what it meant to be in L.A. a couple of days. We had an extra day on our three-day Disneyland pass from the year before. And so we had a free trip to Disneyland that spring break. So that's what she was celebrating about. It wasn't just being in L.A. and breathing in the smoke. But you see, that's what the Lord wants from us. He wants us to be free in Him and to rejoice in Him. And when we're with Him, to be happy about it. Now, again, I think a lot of us, particularly men, feel like, well, I'll rejoice when I feel like it. But here's the truth. If that's the way you are, and if you're a man, then that probably means you're not going to rejoice very often. Because a lot of guys I know, our personality is kind of like this. Never too happy, never too sad. Maybe flashes of anger. Everything else, there's not really a lot of other emotion. But the Lord says, no, rejoice. When you come and you're making your offerings and you're presenting things to me, be happy about it. Rejoice. It doesn't matter how you feel. Just enjoy it. And here's the great thing that I want us to look at tonight is this thing about rejoicing. It's the Lord is making a command, but he's also saying, here's how it's going to be. It's a statement of fact that when you're worshiping, when you're spending time with me, there needs to be some time of rejoicing. But not only that, but when we rejoice, and he's saying, you shall rejoice, there's another meaning there too. And that is one of great hope and promise. The Lord is saying, you will rejoice. You shall rejoice. Right now, you're traveling around in the desert. You're thinking, when is this going to end? This is tedious. This is 40 years. But the Lord says, you'll rejoice. This is going to be fun. You're going to love it. You're going to be so free when you're with me. And so tonight, what I want to do is talk about rejoicing and what that means a little bit. There are hundreds of Bible verses that talk about rejoicing. Don't worry, we're not going to get into all of them. Maybe just 60 or 70. No, not really. Maybe only 6 or 7. But here's the deal. Honestly, I want to kind of keep this fine point on this, and that is the Lord wants us to rejoice because we have a lot to rejoice in with him. And before we get into any details, and maybe I'm going to be taking away some of the impact of what I'm going to say later, but just keep this in your mind the whole time. Who is the Lord? What is he like? How has God shown himself to us? How has he revealed himself in his word? And I'm talking about all the good things that he's done for us, that he's going to do for us, that he is currently doing for us. What kind of things? Well, think about all the promises in the word, all the great promises. Things like, I will never leave you or forsake you. Or when we read it that in the word that his mercies are new every day. In other words, he never runs out of mercy. God is merciful. He's compassionate. He's slow to anger. He's kind. So I'm just thinking about these things, kind of have that rolling around, hopefully, in the back of your mind. There's all sorts of other things that we know about the Lord. He's faithful. There's just hundreds of great things we know about the Lord that he's worthy to be praised about, worthy for us to be thankful towards him. And then with that in mind, also think, without the Lord being the way he is, where would you be headed? Now, you don't have to think about that too much, because that's pretty horrible. You know what I'm saying? I mean, the truth is, without the Lord, we have no hope. There's no hope. Life is empty and harsh and dreary. But with the Lord, we know that even though life is hard, it's only for a season that we're going to have hardship, and that our future is going to be with him. And that when we are with him, whether it happens when the Lord raptures the church and takes us out of here, or whether we die and go to be with the Lord, whichever happens, once we're with him, all troubles are over. What a great and glorious future we have. And sometimes we forget about it because, well, you know, I'm so focused on what I'm feeling at the moment that I forget to look at the bigger picture. Well, okay, I'm going to level with you. Pretty typical for me. Tonight, I want to, this is going to be a little bit like preschool level thinking, okay? So I have some rhyming words, and they're not real deep. And so I just want you to know that before we get going. So don't be thinking, oh, wow, what's he going to say tonight? You don't have to worry. You don't have to think that way. But if you want, you can write down. We're only going to look at like four words, really. And the first one is glad. Now, we've already been talking about that a little bit. It's easy to rejoice when we're glad because we feel like it. Man, when I'm glad, I want to rejoice. Now you think, okay, so what do you mean? Well, obviously, think about the times that you find yourself spontaneously rejoicing. There's a good side to that, and there's a negative side. You know what I'm saying? The Bible even talks about that we can rejoice in the wrong things sometimes. We can rejoice when let's say, justice overtakes somebody. Like when you see the police officers flashing lights behind you, and you're just sure, yep, I was speeding, and you start to pull over, and then he passes you and gets the guy in front of you. You rejoice. I've had that rejoicing a couple of times. And then I say, oh, Lord, I'm sorry. But it sure felt good to have him pass me. But there's that kind of rejoicing and being glad. But the real one is, man, when the Lord does something, and he, let's say those times when you've experienced where the Lord has used you. And maybe it was something like you prayed for somebody. And you prayed with somebody about something, and you felt like, boy, I really didn't know what to say or what to pray, and I felt kind of goofy doing it. But then later, the person says, thank you. That really was a blessing for me. And then you go, yes, Lord, that's awesome. Thank you. Or when you sense that the Lord has used you in some other way, whether you get a chance to share about him with somebody, or whether you get to encourage somebody or be used in some other way just by helping somebody out. And then you say, Lord, thank you so much. Or when it's something else, maybe you're reading your Bible and the Lord speaks to you in his word and you rejoice because, oh, Lord, you do care about me. You just talked to me about the thing that I'm so worried about, what I was so afraid of. And then, Lord, you showed me that I don't have to be afraid because I can trust in you. I don't have to worry about my reputation because people are talking bad about me and it's not true. And then you're reading in the Word and it says that an undeserved curse is like a sparrow that can find no place to rest. And you go, oh, thank you, Lord. You're so good to take care of me. So it's easy to rejoice when you're glad. And I guess the one thing I would like to just point out to all of us more reserved types, so whether that's those of us who are quieter or more shy or more reserved, or maybe you could just say more boring, hey, don't put a lid on it when it comes to rejoicing before the Lord. Now, I'm not saying you have to be like David and dance around here in your underwear. Please don't. But maybe at home, when nobody's looking, and then nobody will know but you and the Lord, that's fine. But seriously, at home, or you're, man, my best place for rejoicing is also my, unfortunately, one of my worst places if I'm not rejoicing, and that's in the car. If I'm rejoicing, if I'm spending time with the Lord, the car is my little sanctuary. When I'm not including the Lord, it's, I won't talk about it. I'm one of those jerks out there. But what I'm trying to say is don't hold back. You know what it's like? Again, when you're around little kids and they're rejoicing, they can't hold it back. They can't stop. Their bodies just start wiggling. You know what I'm saying? They're just so excited. They're so happy. We can be that way with the Lord. He is our Father in heaven. He cares about us, and He wants us to enjoy the good things that He's done for us. We don't have to be so careful to hold it in and to, not let it out. No, between you and the Lord, let it out. Tell Him how thankful you are. Enjoy it. One thing I love about Vanuatu, again, it's that little country in the South Pacific. The people there rejoice a lot. They really do. And they don't let the cares of life weigh them down the way we do allow that here. In other words, we worry about all sorts of things. And we're very reserved. Now, the people in Vanuatu are actually kind of reserved, but they're very joyful. And one thing I love is that I'm just thinking right now of a song that they sing over there that's really, when you hear the words, these guys are Christians, but they're talking about how really without the Lord, life is, all that we can look forward to is sorrow and hardship. And so the song is really down. Well, here, wait, I can... This may be a big mistake. I'm living on the edge because Saturday night, we're kind of low key here, right? A lot of you guys, I mean, this is kind of, so what I'm, I'll play you their dirge so you can hear the dirge. Isn't that depressing? I mean, oh, it's so depressing. No, it's not, is it? Now, when you listen, if I gave you this song, you can't get it on iTunes or anything. But so you just have to take my word for it. I guess I just realized that. But this song is really depressing. but the way they sing it, their whole life, their demeanor is, life is horrible and hard, but it's really not, because God is good. And that's the way we get to be. You know, we go through hard things. We really do. And it's okay that when we're going through those hard times, there are times that the Bible's clear, there are times to weep, there are times to mourn. But even in those times, we can have moments where we can rejoice. And I don't mean being glad like we're talking about, but there's a part of rejoicing that's not an emotional thing. It's something about being thankful and giving praise to the Lord. So actually, here, let's go back to that... list of really highly intellectual thought here that we have. So the first one, it's easy to rejoice when we're glad. The next word, of course, because I'm already kind of leading into it, you can imagine it's going to rhyme. It's sad. and the question is, how can I rejoice when I'm sad? And the truth is, that's something we think. Well, those are opposites. You can't rejoice and be sad. But you can. Because here's what I'm saying, is in a time of sadness, you still can have times with the Lord of rejoicing. How? Well, think of it this way. Maybe you're going through all sorts of trials and hardships. The book of James, here, let me just read it to you. James chapter 1 is pretty clear about this. Listen to this. He says, James chapter 1, verse 2, he says, "Consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Perseverance must finish its work so you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything." And then it goes on, it talks about wisdom and things like that. But basically, what he's saying is when you're going through trials, which, in other words, you're going to go through trials and hardships of many kinds, consider it joy. That doesn't mean it's time to laugh and goof off and act like nothing's happening. No. But we can consider this horrible, hard time something that's going to be good. And how can that be? Well, we know that the Lord, what does He do with all of the bad things? all the things that we think, how can any good come out of this? Because there are lots of situations you say, it's impossible. Humanly speaking, there cannot be any good to come out of this. But what does the Lord tell us? That he works all things together for good, right? For us. Why? Because that's what he's able to do. That's how good he is. That's how much he cares. So, yes, even when we are sad, we can rejoice. Now, don't get me wrong here. I have been around people, and I think I've done this myself before, who will take this kind of thinking to a degree or a limit that I think is not right. And that is, people will be going through a real hard time and just act like, oh, it's nothing. It's nothing, because after all, it's all going to work out. It's all going to be fine. And they're not really dealing with it, or not really acknowledging the hardship. Remember, Jesus wasn't like that. When he was with Mary and Martha after Lazarus had died, did Jesus say, hey, no big deal. He's in heaven. Get over it. No. He wept. The Bible talks about weeping with those who weep. It's okay. But what we're talking about with rejoicing is, it's not just a happy emotion that we're talking about. We're talking about an attitude in our heart where we can say, wow, this is horrible. Lord, this is so sad for us. But my family member who just went to be with you, Lord, is now with you. And I can be happy about that. I can rejoice in that. Lord, that you are good, that you saved my dad, or you saved my mom, or you saved my sister, or whatever. We can be happy. We can rejoice. Even though we're not glad about it, even though we're not feeling like, woohoo, rejoice, you know, like after a touchdown, we're not feeling that kind of rejoicing, but we can have that deeper kind of rejoicing where we can say, I am so thankful to you, Lord, because you have all things under control. Nothing, no one will escape from your hand. If you know, the hardships, the things that sometimes we feel like, wow, Lord, where are you? Then you think about it, you realize, no, the Lord is here. He is in charge. He hasn't forgotten me. So when you're sad, I would suggest that you remember the big picture. Now, again, I'm not saying you have to be like, oh, everything's fine. One time, back again into Vanuatu, there was a big, what they would say, a big man. In other words, an important person died. And people were mourning. And when people, now here's the thing. People in Vanuatu, when they grieve, they grieve. It's like the Middle East. I mean, they just wail. And it's unbelievable. I mean, it's just all 24 hours a day. It's horrible. And it's so gut-wrenching, the way they grieve. And so they were burying this guy. And by the way, when somebody dies, they're buried within a couple hours. You know, there's not much time lapsed. And so people were at the funeral, at the graveside, just wailing. And they had filled in the dirt over the casket. And there was a guy, and it just wrenches at you, because there's this adult, this man, you know, a strong guy, and he's laying on the dirt, wailing. And then the newspaper photographer comes by, and he's wailing, and he's like this on the dirt, and he's crying, and he sees the reporter over here with the camera, and he goes, and that's the picture that goes in the paper. You go, what is that about? Well, that's a whole other thing. Whenever you get your picture taken in Vanuatu, you make some kind of hand sign. But anyway, it's like, okay, it's all right. And then as soon as the picture's over, then he's wailing again. But you know, we can have moments. I think, you know, sometimes people act like that's what you should do. You just say, it's okay. Everything's good. And you can do that to a degree, but it's also okay to mourn. That's correct, I believe. But the point is, even in all of the hardships we have, it's good for us to have moments of rejoicing. And it, like I said, it doesn't have to be an emotional response of kind, that kind of rejoicing. But really, what is rejoicing all about? It's remembering how good the Lord is, being thankful, praising Him. That's rejoicing. And so sometimes it's a bit of a, maybe you could say it's a bit of a discipline, or it's a bit of a decision you make. And that's okay too, that you just do it. Well, let me read you another one. So we've had glad, sad. How about bad? This is pretty closely related to our last one, sad and bad. But it's better to have a few extra points. It sounds like you've prepared more. How do I rejoice when things are bad? Well, we already talked about that a little bit, what the book of James says. But let me read you a very similar passage from 1 Peter. Because, again, Peter's talking to the church. They're going through hard times. And listen to this. It says, in your notes, you can just start in verse 3, but I think we'll just start in, we'll start in verse 3. It says, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In His great mercy, He has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that your faith, which is of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may be proved genuine and may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Though you have not seen Him, you love Him, and even though you do not see Him now, you believe in Him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy, for you are receiving the goal of your faith, the salvation of your souls. I love this passage because he's saying you have the ability to rejoice even though you may have had to go through some real grief. And that's okay. Do you get it? In other words, here we have what I would say, between James and this, the passages that are talking about, hey, when things are bad, you still can have joy. When things are bad, you still can rejoice. Why? Because the Lord is good. The Lord is faithful. The Lord has a plan. And here's the deal. Our grief, our hardships, when we're sad or when things are bad, they're all temporary. And what's going to happen is there will come a time when we are standing with the Lord and we realize all of the sadness is being wiped away. It's gone. And now we have 100 years of happiness, 1,000 years of happiness, a million, no, forever. Forever and ever 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 and ever. You can imagine. It never ends. That is something we can be thankful for. And there will come a time, we're all going to remember, we're going to be there and say, we're here. Have you ever, think about maybe a time when you've been looking forward to something that seems like it will never get there. I can remember when I was a little kid, one day being really, really thirsty, and I had gone on a long walk and gotten way, way away from home. And it was, you know, weather like we've had this week. And I remember walking, thinking, I am never going to ever have another drink of water in my life. And I remember going by a ditch along the side of the road, and there was a little trickle of water, and it was not clean, and it looked so good. I remember thinking, oh, I just can't wait. But I knew I couldn't drink it, you know how it is. And I walked and walked and walked and walked, and it was at least 5 minutes before I got home. And no, it seemed like days. But I remember getting home and taking that drink of water, and it was like, ah. And then you kind of forget about everything else that came to that moment, because now I'm fulfilled, I'm happy. That's the way it's going to be when we get to heaven. All of the hardships, all of the difficulties, all of the challenges of now, they'll be gone. And we'll just enjoy the Lord forever. So that's something to be thankful for. That's something to rejoice in. Remember that. Don't think, I have nothing to be thankful for. But you don't have to be fake. You don't have to try to drum up things to be thankful for. Just think of something like that, real simple. Wow, Lord, I am thankful that someday all of my troubles will be past. Lord, I am thankful that someday I'm going to be seeing you face to face. Well, when you remember the Lord now, when things are bad, you have something to rejoice in. Man, if you look at the news, there's nothing to rejoice in. There's no good news out there. Even the good news is pretty bad, if you know what I mean. It doesn't seem like there's really a great supply of really great news. Because even half of the things that are good news, you kind of wonder if they're real. You know what I mean? Things you see on Facebook and stuff like that, you just think, I'm not so sure. That's wonderful and touching, but I'm not sure it was really, that's what really happened. I don't know, maybe I'm just a cynic. But here's the truth. When in the midst of things now that I say, oh, everything is just horrible. But I remember there's coming a day when Jesus is going to be ruling and reigning here on this earth and things are going to be right. That's going to be amazing. That's going to be so cool when we are with the Lord. He's ruling, he's reigning. We're going to be living here, so to speak, and yet everything's going to be good. There won't be sin. There won't be garbage of any kind. You won't have to worry about pollution. You won't have to worry about it being too hot or too cold. Everything's going to be, we're just going to be like, wow. And when I remember that, okay, Lord, I don't have to worry so much about what's happening right now. I don't have to get all caught up in what's going on politically, because that just, there's no joy in that right now. Or ever. There never has been. So the point I'm trying to make tonight is very simple. That rejoicing is there's a part of it that you could say is a discipline. It's a choice. And I'm hoping that we will be a group of people who rejoice a lot. Now, I don't mean being, you know, putting on the fake and acting like everything's great when it's not. But when things are bad, they're bad, but you can consider them pure joy. They're bad, but you can still rejoice in the Lord. You and the Lord together, you can just be, well, Lord, I'm so thankful that I've got you, because right now I feel like I don't have anything else. That's okay. Rejoice in him. Be glad in him. Be glad because you know he's going to deliver you. It's a guarantee. It may take a while, but it will happen. It's a promise. You don't have to wonder about that. So here's the thing. The reason that it's important to rejoice, and this is my last point, and it's profound. We've had glad, sad, bad. Now, it's almost the same as the first, but it's not clad. You want to be clad. What am I talking about? You know what I'm talking about. When you wear in your clothes, you're clad. You know, the line of policemen all clad in blue, right? We'll say something like that, or, you know, I'm talking about in that terminology. You want to make sure that you are clad well. You don't want to be a scantily clad Christian. What's he talking about? Here's what I'm talking about. Let me read you a verse. It's Psalm 33:1. And it says, "Rejoice in the Lord, O ye righteous, for praise is comely for the upright." Some of the other versions say, "is becoming." But I love this because what it's saying here is it looks good on you. Praising the Lord, being a person who rejoices, it's like you're wearing something that looks good on you. That's always a great feeling, isn't it? When you wear something that you know, hey, this looks good on me. I had a sweater like that when I was in high school. At the time, it was a brand new ski sweater. And it was wool, and it was bright blue and bright orange. But it was really good looking. And I knew it because people would stop me all the time when I was wearing it. They'd say, "Hey, that's a nice sweater." They never told me I looked good. They just told me that it was a nice sweater. And they'd say, "That is nice. Where'd you get it?" "Oh, I got it at Rogue Ski Shop." I'm like, "Oh, that's nice." And I wore that sweater every day. Why? Because people said, "Hey, that's a nice sweater," every time. And it felt good. This is the way rejoicing is for Christians. It's something that the Lord says, "Hey, that looks good on you. That looks nice. That is sharp." And you know, it's true. What does it look like on you when you're depressed and morose and down and downcast? Doesn't look good, does it? It's horrible. Now, does that mean we never have those emotions? No, we will. But even in those times, we can say between us and the Lord, "Lord, help me. I want to rejoice in who you are, in what you've done. Lord, even though I can't see it at this moment, I know I will because you're good. Even though I feel completely alone, Lord, I know I'm not because you've promised that you'll never leave me or forsake me." And you can rejoice in the Lord, and the Lord says, "That looks good. That looks good on you." So just remember that. You want to be clad correctly or beautifully or however you want to say it. And it's from the Lord's perspective primarily, but also the truth is it'll show through to others around you too. So that's pretty much it tonight. Want to make it just a reminder for us to be people who rejoice in the Lord, who are thankful to him and for him, and we remember to praise him. You know, it's easy to sometimes just do that at home. In other words, we do it at church and we think, "Well, okay, that's enough." And we forget that we should be doing that at home, or when we are in our car, or whenever we have our times when we're just alone with the Lord. It's good to just spend some time being thankful and rejoicing, particularly when you feel like it the least. Because, you know, the truth is, it may be hard for a moment to get into it. But as you do, and the more you thank the Lord for, the more things you start remembering, then what happens is it's a little bit of a snowball. And then all of a sudden, you'd be amazed how long you can go thanking the Lord when you really start thinking about all the things you're thankful for. And you can start with the dumb ones that you can't, you know, that you might be embarrassed to say to other people. You won't have to be embarrassed to say it to me because you know my level. But, you know, you can be thankful for air. You can be thankful for the food that you eat. You can be thankful for your house or the clothes that you're wearing. Man, the Lord has provided all of these things for us. And we can start with that. While we're working out, we're saying, "Lord, I don't feel very thankful for too much right now." Then we can be praising him for the simple things. When I say simple, I just mean the basic, the things that we know very quickly, like our salvation. Not that that's simple. Not that that's basic. But it's something we all know. We can be thankful for that. We can praise him for being the God of our salvation, for him being righteous and true. Well, anyway, the Lord is very good, and it's good for us to remember that and to rejoice in him. Let's pray. Father, we are so thankful. The truth is, Lord, we want to be more thankful. We are thankful, but we want to be more thankful. Lord, we do praise you, but we want to praise you more. Lord, we do want to consider all the benefits that we have because of having you in our life. Lord, we're so amazed again that you just have sought us out. Lord, that you came to this earth to seek and save the lost. And that's us. And so, Lord, tonight, as a bunch of your kids, we just want to say thank you. Thank you for being good to us. Thank you for saving us. Thank you for everything. And Lord, help us to be rejoicing in you more and more. Lord, help us to not be holding it back when we do have something to be thankful for. Lord, help us to remember to really be letting it out and then just enjoying it between you and us. And Lord, if it carries out to other people, that's great too. But what we really want is to be open and free with you. So Lord, we give you all these things. Lord, I ask that you just bless everybody who came out tonight. Lord, may this evening be a time of rejoicing, and tomorrow too. And we ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.
We encourage you to take advantage of our media ministry by visiting us at atheecreek.com anytime. There we have all of Pastor Brett's Bible studies available as a free download.